Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, along with T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, hope you had a great Christmas. Now it's time to start saying Happy New Year and time to get ready for the New Year's bowl games, including Penn State versus Arkansas. Of course, we all want to know what's going to happen in this game. And we always turn to you, the answer man, for our to answer our questions. So we're going to take a look at Penn State, Arkansas. We're going to spend our first segment looking at the situation where Penn State has the ball, Arkansas on defense. Quarter number two, we'll reverse that. So, T. Frank, y'all ready to go?
Sure. I mean, I always think I know what's supposed to happen, but what does happen is always very different because, you know, people are involved and people create all kinds of chaos. So I know what I want and what I think should happen based on what I've seen, but you just never know, especially with all the opt-outs. I think that changes the a lot of things, especially for Arkansas on offense, which we'll get to in a little bit. But with all the opt-outs, I genuinely, in certain spots, have no idea what to expect because I don't know what the talents of those players are.
We're going to get to that side of the ball, like I said, in segment two, where I think it's an issue for Arkansas's offense and Penn State's defense also will be hard hit. Starting, though, with Penn State with the ball, Jahan Dotson, best playmaker on Penn State offense. It's now official that he has opted out. So how different will Penn State's offense look without Dotson there?
I don't know that it'll look a whole lot different. Just the targets will go to different players. But I think, in general, they'll probably keep a lot of things the same because they've had a lot of time now. I mean, they've known that Jahan Dotson's going to opt out since the end of the season. It's just the announcement coming this week for the whole subterfuge idea of making Arkansas prepare for Dotson and make them prepare for Ebikidi and for Brisker. And I expect Ebikidi, if he hasn't already, because we're recording this earlier than it's airing, I would expect by the middle or the end of the week that Arnold Ebikidi makes his announcement as well that he's opting out. So they've known for a while. So the idea that they're going to do something drastically different. I mean, maybe some wrinkles, maybe some new things, but I think it's just going to be the target distribution is going to be a little bit different than it was before because obviously your number one target no longer on the football field.
Let's look at Arkansas a little bit on defense. Their one opt-out, Trey Williams, their leading sack man with six sacks. What should we look for from Arkansas's defense?
So without him, they don't really have a pass rush. And that's where another one of the situations of are they more aggressive? Because they're, I would say, on the whole, they're generally conservative. They're not afraid to play man coverage with single high safety and blitz, you know, and send five. But more times than not, they want to play coverage. They'll drop eight quite a bit, but they're planning on getting pressure with three, and Trey Williams was a big part of that. So does that change how they want to attack? But as far as juice off the edge, they don't really have anything outside of him. They got a couple good linebackers that are good at blitzing and you know attacking off the edge with a free rush or you know against running backs, but they don't really have any sort of pressure outside of their kind of like Penn State with Arnold Ebikidi. They have one pass rusher, and if he's not in the game, that may affect the way they try to get pressure by blitzing more, being more aggressive than is characteristic of their defense throughout the season.
During the season, you've talked about Sean Clifford's struggles when he is under pressure. Does that fact help, and especially the fact that now Sean Clifford has had several weeks to recover? Hopefully we see a healthy Sean Clifford. And if it's a Sean Clifford who's not under pressure, do you see that as all good things for Clifford?
Well, certainly. I also think that Arkansas's defense just isn't very good. You know, they're more scheme over talent, where they've got some good players, and they've got some players that play well within their role, but there aren't any dominant players in the secondary that you have to be careful of or watch out for. A lot of busted coverages during certain games. They try to do a lot, And I think that's part of it. They've got a bit of a Big 12 feel. Well, they'll line up with three safeties deep to start a play, and then goad you into running. First off, you know, so if you've got three guys deep and five guys in the box, that is a cry for the offensive coordinator to run the football at a light box. When they do that, their defensive line is okay, and they've got some good run stuffers up the middle, but their defensive ends aren't particularly talented, and then their linebackers are very small. So they've got a couple guys that are smart, fast-flowing linebackers, but if you can get downhill at them, you know, you can get plays on this defense. And obviously Penn State has struggled to do that this year, but it's not like this is an overwhelming defense at any point with talent, more about scheme and more about intelligence and playing a little bit off kilter from what you're used to. But if Penn State can handle that, and again, they've had 3 weeks to prepare and look at a game plan and all of those things, I don't see anything, again, schematically or from a talent perspective that should really tax Penn State. It's just going to be about can they execute, which has been the thing all year. So we'll see. And then not having, I would assume Rashid Walker's not playing in this game as well. So what does the revamped offensive line look like? There's a lot of questions about things that, for me, aren't on film that I can't give you a firm answer about with either team in the bowl game.
You mentioned Rashid Walker. For those who haven't seen it, there's been photos come out, the team arriving in Tampa, and Rashid Walker on crutches. I think that's a pretty good indicator that he'll be out. Many of us thought it might be a case where he would be opting out and maybe declaring for the draft. As it turns out, he does have some kind of leg injury, and we presume he'll be out because of that. T. Frank, I'm going to make you the offensive line coach. Who are you plugging in for Rashid Walker at left tackle?
That's a great question. This is something I talked about on my show last week or the week before. This is going to be the biggest indication of what they actually want to do versus what they were forced to do during the season. Because when Rashid Walker was out at the end for the last two games, we saw Landon Tengwall step in at left tackle at times, along with Bryce Effner in the final game. But really, they've talked about Landon Tengwall at every other position but left tackle. So, you know, that James Franklin has mentioned multiple times that he can play anywhere along the line. They've gotten him reps at center, at guard, at tackle. So I think Olufoshanu is going to be the left tackle. And that's kind of what we've seen and what we've heard coming out of Penn State over the last couple of weeks. And then that might be the only change other than Juice Scruggs and Mike Miranda finally officially flipping positions with Scruggs at center and Miranda at right guard. And then Caden Wallace at right tackle. If it were me, I would want to see what the offensive line could look like next year and put Landon Tengwall on the football field somewhere. I think to help out Caden Wallace, I'd put Landon Tengwall at right tackle. I think that's where his skill set could benefit him and the offensive line the most. And then you can put Caden Wallace where I think he'd be better at guard, and then you have more beef inside. You have a better lineup of strength, power, athleticism across the board. I don't know that they're going to do that. Just based on what I've seen and what I've reading the tea leaves, I think they're going to stick with what they've done this year with Wallace at right tackle. So that's kind of what I would do versus what I'm expecting along the offensive line.
One of the things you mentioned in talking about the Arkansas defense is they'll play extra defensive backs, almost goading you into running the ball. Penn State fans, I think their heart skipped a beat when they hear that, tempted to run the ball. That seems to be the situation where Penn State, they'll read what's going on, plus they just seem to want to establish, yes, we can run the ball. Do you expect that to continue in the bowl game? Like James Franklin, when he was asked about not having a 100-yard rusher all season, his response was, well, the season's not over. I get the impression, come hell or high water, he's going to try and get a 100-yard rusher in this game.
I don't know. Yeah, probably. That the situation in the last game dictated all of those things. And not to revisit the Michigan State game, but it was snowing really hard in that game. Michigan State was also trying to establish the run, and I understand they have Kenneth Walker, and they are better at doing that. But when you play your safeties 20 yards off the line of scrimmage and it's snowy, I don't think Penn State was out of line for trying to play that way, especially seeing as both teams were playing that way. The problems came when in third and fourth down in short yard situations, they didn't put the ball in the air. They opted to continue to be conservative, where Michigan State played and made people slip in the snow. So in this game, I think it's an entirely different situation, but I do think that if the run option presents itself, they are going to try and take it. It's just about box numbers. It's just about what's the advantage for the offense. So if that stops working, they're going to throw the football. There's no snow in this game to change the mathematics for them. So if it's not working, they're going to try and get points. Mike Yurcich has always said it's points, and then it's everything else. Go get points. You got to make sure that you're doing it that way. And I don't want to take what happened in a very specific game at the end of the season and then extrapolate that over everything. Would they like to have a 100-yard rusher? Would they like to make improvements along the offensive line in the run game? Yes, but they're not going to sacrifice winning to do that.
Let's go back to the passing game and not having Jahan Dotson in there. In a sense, that moves everybody up a notch, which is what we've talked about for next year. You know, Parker Washington moves up to be the number one target. But I had the feeling through the year that the tight ends were underutilized. Do you think the fact that Dotson will be out, who was not only obviously the best receiver, but I think also kind of the default place that Sean Clifford would look? When in doubt, look for Dotson. Do you think the tight ends might play a bigger role in this game, especially without Dotson there?
Well, first off, Mitchell Tinsley, after watching him, the transfer from Western Kentucky, watch a little bit of his film this week. I'm going to be doing a breakdown of him later on my YouTube channel. I don't know that Parker Washington's going to be the number one option next year after watching his film, because wow. But to answer your question, it just bumps everyone up a notch. They run similar plays and situations, so it's just going to be about who's going to be the primary target on those plays. And then, Parker Washington operating from the slot, the percentage of play calls that go to him versus that go to, the boundary receivers, Keandre Lambert-Smith and Malik Mega. I think that's going to be just the distribution of where you're targeting with similar plays. I don't know that you're going to change a lot about the offense, because the point of the offense was that you were able to throw the ball multiple places and with some screens and design bubble plays and things like that. You were seeing Keandre Lambert-Smith get some of those anyway. So I would just imagine a lot of those would be similar, and then the downfield passing is going to be the biggest question, is who's targeted downfield, because all the short yardage stuff, that I think remains the same.
All right, that's it for quarter number one. Stick around in quarter number two. We're going to flip things, and we're going to look at Arkansas's offense versus Penn State's defense.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.